Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to talk with us about a very fun endeavor related to the Africa Project for the month of June. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Jen.
So it's fun because, you know, I think when a lot of folks think of Bob, they think of all things related to technology, right? That's the main stewardship area that you have done for the organization for years and continue to do. And so a good news update on Africa featuring Bob, huh? So what folks may not know is that you also steward the numbers. So being the guy behind the scenes who's helping to watch over the financial health of the organizations and make sure things are reconciled and things are going where they need to go and that sort of thing. And it was so fun because in the process of doing that around the work in Africa, you had a really fun sort of financial process insight that led to this endeavor that we're undertaking in June. So I wonder if you could start us off by talking about what you saw when you were doing that process with the Africa financials.
Yeah, sure. So what we saw when we were looking at the financials were probably two things, right? So one is that, you know, as we've known, that we do our big Bridgewalk campaign every year, and that you know, that provides most of the funding for the Bridgewalk year to year, even though it only happens over, what, 3 months of the year. And then we also have a group of monthly donors who have been, many who have been supporting us for well over a decade for the Africa Project. And one of the things that we've seen over time is that, you know, people will start a monthly donation for Africa, and for a whole host of reasons, you know, when, you know, their pledge of, you know, I'm going to give $10 a year, a month for 5 years, when that pledge is up, you know, maybe we don't have the right email address. Maybe their credit card expired and we weren't able to reach them. Maybe, you know, someone who is really deeply connected with practice had asked them 1 year, hey, will you support my fundraiser? And then they start a monthly donation, but maybe they may not actually know a whole lot about our project, frankly. And so, you know, what we saw over time is that the monthly donors giving to Living Compassion, they kind of slowly dwindle over time. Don't go away completely, and lots of changes happen. People create new ones, and people increase them. But, you know, the overall amount tends to kind of slowly decrease over time. And so I think those two things, you know, kind of led us to, wouldn't it be great just to kind of check back with people and see, you know, if, you know, to kind of boost up the monthly donation program so that when we're doing our yearly financial kind of projections for the year and planning what's going to happen in Cantalomba, that we have a little bit more stable financing coming in. It's not just that one big hit every year where, as you know, I mean, we always tend to, and this happens to the Zen Center as well, we tend to have all the money we need each year, usually not much more. But, you know, to have more stable funding so that when that we make that planning, we know that the money is going to be there when the time comes to spend it.
And that was the thing that I just found so fun about the whole thing is, first of all, the other thing that, I mean, again, this isn't new news, but, you know, for anyone who may not have been around when it was happening, just a reminder in looking at all that, how incredibly successful the Bridgewalk season last year was, and just a huge, deep bow of gratitude to everyone for all of that, because that was incredible what we pulled off as a Sangha, just truly, you know, hit it out of the park, and by far the most successful Bridgewalk campaign we've ever had. And what that's allowed is really this expansion. You know, I spoke with Teresa this morning. So I have the great good fortune of hearing the, you know, the tangible results of what all of that funding really does. And so there's that. And the big thing that I think that we saw coming out of it, as you say, is that place of to have that stable, the once a year big fundraising season, and then to have that stable base that can be counted on every single month of the year to really carry us through between those Bridgewalk seasons. And well, so anyway, so that led us to this idea. Do you want to kind of lay out what we're up to this month?
Yeah, so what we came up with is just a month-long campaign, you know, a booster campaign, where the goal is to reach out to folks and to see if we can have 100 more $10 a month monthly donors added to the program. And that could be either people who have never donated at all to the EFCA mm-hmm. program before and they want to start a new $10 a month donation, or it could mm-hmm. be, like many people have already done since this started a couple of days ago, where they increase their existing monthly donation by $10 a month.
Yes. Yep. And the thing that I loved about that as we were looking at it is it just felt like it's so practice to, instead of, you know, a handful of people kind of picking up the big weight, you know, carrying the weight of it, to see if a bunch of us can come together. You know, because I was looking at it, $10 a month. For a lot of us, not necessarily for everyone, but for a lot of us, that's really doable, right? That's doable. I can add that into what I'm doing. So a lot of folks do support the Zen Center monthly, which is fabulous. That's really, you know, the Zen Center really, really relies on that monthly donation support. And, you know, I was looking at, okay, so $10 a month, if 100 of us pitch in that amount, that gives us a very solid base that we can have every single month and then go to the annual bridge walk as the place where we really fund the large chunks of the project. And it just feels like such a fun way to do that, to carry it together instead of just a few people carrying the major portion of it.
Yeah, yeah. And two things I especially like about that. One is that, you know, when I looked for myself at whether, you know, to add $10 a month to my monthly donation, it really what it came down to is just paying attention to my finances each month. And I know the $10 is there, right? And the other thing that you started to talk about early on is that, you know, the news that you get to hear from Teresa every month, all the wonderful things going on the project, is I know that starting with next week's email, there's going to be a little bit of news item in there about something fun and incredible, frankly, happening in the project.
Yeah, exactly. It's always, I love things like this because it just gives me a chance to showcase some of what, you know, I feel greedy sometimes, like, oh my gosh, it's not fair that I get to have this front row seat all the time. I want everyone to know about all of it all the time. So when we do something like this, for me, it's just a fun way to put it in front of people again. You know, again, it's always both things. It's that huge thank you, you know, because the things that are happening now, it's exactly like we talk about in donations at the end of a retreat. You know, that retreat happened because of everyone who donated before. So the things that are being featured in these emails are because of the bridge walk. That's why we have them. And so, you know, there's that place of thanking people, you know, giving them the information as a thank you, and also to invite people to participate in this way that we're looking at this month.
Yeah, yeah, and the participation piece seems really key to me because when I get that email or when I get my, you know, my thank you for the donation I made in any number of months, it is a really a good feeling of like, oh, I'm part of this. And it just, you know, when the automatic donation just comes out of the account every month, you can kind of forget, you know, all the wonderful things that are happening in the project. And just to have that reminder is just, it's really wonderful.
It really is. You know, and that reminds me, Bob, when you say coming out of your account, can you speak a little bit to the option of doing, is it called ACH? Is that the?
It's either called ACH or EFT, but essentially what it is that we now have the opportunity, like we started offering last year with the Zen Center, for people to make their donations using a checking or savings account, assuming it's a U.S. checking or savings account. And it really is a big savings for us because typically if someone makes, say, a $100 donation, right, we're going to be charged close to 3% on top of that. So that's, you know, and then there's a transaction fee on top of that. But with these ACH EFT transactions coming out of your bank account, they charge us just a small fee. It's like 75 cents per transaction. And it really makes a difference when people switch to it. Now, we don't want you to do it if it doesn't work for you because one of the things about it is that if it comes out of your checking account and there isn't enough money in your account when they take it out each month, then you get charged a fee, we get charged a fee, all that kind of banking stuff.
Yeah, so it ends up being much more expensive than, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's really, you know, for the person who manages their finances in the sense of kind of having a large cash flow, not necessarily someone who chooses to keep all their money in wherever and then cuts it close on their cash.
Yeah, just bringing awareness to that just really helps. But it does, if it's something that works for people, it really does assist us in keeping our expenses down. And because, I mean, one of the things that I'm in a position to know is that we really keep our expenses down. There's a lot of attention that really, you know, stems out of the monastery,
incredible.
But, you know, every penny really is tracked very carefully. And we do, there's just, because the thing that I was thinking about, you know, so if 100 people give $10 more a month each month, that's $1,000 a month. And I think $1,000 in this organization is actually $1,000 almost certainly going directly to the project.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, it's just, it's one of those things, like I think Sherry said once, like, you know, she gives when someone asks her to give to another organization, she gives because she knows that person and just trusts that they know what's going on. And I feel the same way. It's like when I give this organization, it's like I know that it's being stewarded really carefully.
Yeah, me too. And I'll just take this opportunity to say deep bow to you, Bob, for your role in that, because in order for something to be stewarded that closely, someone needs to be watching it that closely. You know, so that's huge. And the other thing I know is that, you know, because I see it come across my desk every single month, the team in Cantalumba, and we have to do it this way because things change so much over there. Every month they go out to the various places. Okay, how much does Mealy Meal cost this month? How much does, you know, beans cost? How much? And they send me the budget for the next month. So it is very carefully tracked. You know, all kinds of, the exchange rate goes crazy, you know, the expenses go up, they go down, they go all, it goes all over the place, but it's tracked really closely. So thank you for that. And I just feel like it's such a, I don't know, it's such a Sangha experience where, you know, on this end, hopefully at least 100 of us are going to look this month to say, yeah, I can do that. I can, that's what I can do. And on that side, that's what they're doing. They're going to check the price of the beans, and they're checking the price of the rice, and they're checking the Mealy Meal, and they're putting it together, and they're sending it over here. And just together, we're paying really close attention and just participating with so much love.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Bob. Anything you wanted to add in before we end?
No, I'd say, you know, look out for those weekly emails. I think they're coming out on Mondays or 2 days each week. And if nothing else, just reading through them is just really fun, and encourage people to do that.
Yeah, all really fun news. Well, thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you, Jen.
All right, thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good. That was an inspiring conversation. And since I've seen all those emails, I have to say it's a really cute campaign.
Yes. I was excited about it when I saw it.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's so much practice in everything we do that even reading the email is very practice oriented. It's participating, right? Here's what's going on in the project. There's so much information. Looking to see what it is I can do. Looking at my process around that. There's so much. So it's such a, I don't know, very tangible way of being part of what this practice represents, to participate in that. In that way, even. Whatever you do with, whether you up your donation or not.
Yes. Yeah, I was. There were many things I enjoyed about that conversation and the whole thing. The goodness of the project as a whole. We've been talking about communication recently. You know, really sharing what's going on financially with the project. not putting a big guilt trip on people, but just, you know, explaining and inviting.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a kind, compassionate way to include people in a project that brings a lot of joy in every direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's such a beautiful way of saying it, Michael. I wish I'd said it that way. It's what Bob was touching upon, where the resources are so carefully managed. And when we have an insight about how we could change it or do better, that's what we tell people, right? And this whole insight around having the bridge walk be our balloon fundraising and having a much more stable monthly income for the project, it's such an important insight. And so we communicate that and offer it to people to see what they want to do with it. And part of what I was looking at during that conversation is simply that, you know, we used to just feed children, but now we send kids to college, we send kids to community colleges, we've started to invest in education. And so the composition of what it is that we're supporting has also changed, and the way in which we have to support it changes. And so that's part of the reason for this campaign, because $1,000 a month is actually so helpful if we've got to pay Edna's school fees every quarter, right? Which wasn't a consideration we had when we were just funding the nutrition program. So anyway, it's just really exciting to be part of something that's dynamic and evolving.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I also enjoyed just hearing about the Ethica Project, because we give it a lot of attention during the bridge walk, and then the rest of the year, not as much. And so it was great for me to be reminded of, that's what we're doing, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. I'd say one more thing before turning it over to you, Michael, for the announcements. I think people are welcome to start a $10 donation if they don't already. And existing donors, if you're donating $6 and can up your donation to $10, you're welcome to do that as well. You don't have to add $10 to the donation. I just wanted to clarify that.
Great. Great. Wonderful. And yes, the announcements are the powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreats provide an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do. Two retreats are coming up, June 29th through July 6th, and August 3rd through August 10th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present, and a new quarter begins July 15th. Two new virtual group coaching classes will be offered this summer. Mornings with the Mentor starts August 7th, and Compassionate Eating begins August 14th. These four-week sessions will use weekly calls and email check-ins to provide support and inspiration. The Family Karma Retreat in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania is not an exploration of childhood trauma or family dynamics from a content perspective, but rather an investigation of the ego, of the, quote, story of me, unquote. Through this exploration, we will be able to see the many ways that story is still dominating us today, and we'll practice the tools that enable us to transcend ego's control. This retreat, September 2nd through 7th, includes yoga, meditation, and guidance with Sherry. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Ashwini, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. A conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we are ready.
All right.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Shwenny. Hi, Michael. I wanted to give an update from my last call.
Okay.
So that was a couple weeks ago, and I was calling about feeling kind of scattered after having just moved.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidance was to really set the bar a lot lower, like maybe a 5-minute meditation and a quick recording about what I want to focus on throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've found over the past couple of weeks is my practice has kind of quadrupled since the bar was set so low. I think that helped allow that to happen.
Uh-huh. Can you hear me, Chris?
Oh, yes, now I can.
Yeah. So I think I recall Sherry suggesting, you know, just do a morning recording about how you want your day to be, right? And then see if you could do an afternoon recording. And what I hear you say is just being given the permission to not listen to the voices about what your practice should be, but doing something really small allowed your practice to deepen, right? It's quadrupled.
It was like,
yeah,
it allowed.
And where does that leave you, Chris?
I mean, so much better off. So it really felt like. So in a concrete way, it was just like it allowed the door to open just enough so that I could slip through.
It allowed the door to open enough so something can slip through. It, you know, Chris, it really reminds me of this, of the place that we look at a lot, right? When we're in survival, we basically have to survive. And at those points, and I think this is what you did, you reached out and you got guidance. And what you were met with is something that was possible to do for you while you were in transition. And you, as a practitioner, were willing to do that. And so you stayed in there. You stayed in with what would take care of you, it's a weird way of saying it, in the measure of how you could take care of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
A morning recording and a short meditation. But you stuck with it. And then as the circumstances changed, there was more opening to do something else, to do more. And that's what you chose to do because practice is so important. I think you said on the call, you know what the benefit of it is, and therefore you can never go back, right? Because once you know the benefit of it and you know what you're up against to stop you from benefiting from it, there wouldn't be any reason why you wouldn't do this because it takes care of you so much. And you can feel what it does to you when you don't do it.
Just that vivid contrast was
yes.
In itself a helpful experience. It was like, oh, this is what it's like to not be doing that anymore. Okay, that's
mm-hmm.
great.
Yes.
I now know what
that's
like.
Let me hop on doing what does take care of me, right? which we don't, I mean, Chris, I don't know if it's your experience, but it's certainly my experience that not everybody has that let me hop on it and then take care of myself, right? Because we're so conditioned to ignore the evidence of our own experience and get
mm-hmm.
talked into going, oh, you know what? It'll get better somehow. I don't have to do anything that I used to do to make me feel better, but at some point it's going to get better. It'll pass. It'll just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't. But to know that you can do something concrete to have the experience you really want to have in your life and then to do it, couple of celebration recordings on that one, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. And just feeling that sense of, I don't know if the word empowerment meets it quite, but just that freedom and choice that it's there is, I'm not a victim to just things kind of happening to me. Like, there actually is a freedom to make that movement.
Yes. A freedom to make that movement and a growing confidence that you will. Right? That faith is what we talk about, the constant devotion that leads to that ever-expanding faith. And when we make that choice, the energy that we receive, the benefits that we receive motivate us to make that choice, and it strengthens our intention and our willingness and our desire to make that choice, and so we make that choice.
Yes, it's really like a virtuous spiral.
Mm-hmm. With positive feedback loops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's glorious.
It really is. And yeah, I just wanted to report back. I know that that's, it's nice when that opportunity is there to say what happened after the last call.
So true. I'm so glad you did, because I think it's also a demonstration, right, Chris, that we don't only call in when we're not feeling it's going away the way we want it to go, or we have a problem to solve. It's so wonderful to have people call in and report their practice success so that we all get to celebrate with you, and we all get to know that we can make the choice that you are making, because we're all up against the same thing you are up against. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Keep us posted, huh?
I will. And thank you to everyone and Sangha, and thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Ashwin, I really enjoyed that conversation. And when Chris talked about allowing the door to open enough so that I can slip through, it reminded me of when you talk about sort of like a gradient of growth. What's the sort of smallest gradient that I can handle at this moment to keep going and show up?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so inspiring to hear that success and the willingness to show up.
Yeah. I think, I wish I could take credit for that theory, Michael, but I think it's a learning theory where when you read, you want to choose something that is the smallest gradient of difficulty for which you don't have resistance, because that's the only thing that meets your capacity for that in that moment. And it's really a moment of true presence to be able to recognize that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I just love that story of calling in for the guidance and then following the guidance and getting four times the results that I was expecting. It's just so fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then calling in to tell us about it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Anna calling from Seattle.
Hey, Anna. Long time no talk.
Yeah. Well, for that really, really, really wonderful retreat.
Wasn't it? Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness, indeed. And I recall you were so worried because you had voices about not enjoying poetry.
Yeah. Yes, I was just going to say that as well. I actually really enjoyed it. And the poems, I mean, most of them, you know, were just tears to my eyes. And really, for a split second, I would, you know, experience that emptiness.
That is so marvelous, right, Anna? Because there you are wanting to come on this retreat and something in you is calling you to come. And those voices want to tell you, well, you don't like poetry, or you don't get poetry, or whatever else. And if we listen to that voice, we get talked out of having the experience you just described, which is to come on the retreat, to open your heart, and to have your heart open and to be taken places where I project the voices don't want you to know that you can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what else I kind of insight I had just from, I think, a couple of things that, or let's see if I can talk about it in process terms. Like, for example, if another person, somebody I really, respect and I really like and love says something, for example, about ceremony or about my ex-boyfriend kind of then or something like that, it doesn't sound dismissive when they say it, but it's kind of well, this is hard to explain. Sorry, I'm not doing a great job at explaining this. Well, anyways, so then I in the past would just kind of dismissively agree about those kinds of things, like oh my gosh, they were really were jerks or something, you know, like my ex-boyfriends. But what I just saw is that I don't want to do that anymore because, you know, they were really, like bodhisattvas for me. And yes, maybe they were, in those moments I would think, they really were jerks. But, they were really great.
Uh-huh. So let me see if I'm tracking, because I think you were breaking up a little bit for me, Anna.
Oh.
So I think what you were saying is that if somebody, there are people in your life, and if somebody said something dismissive about them, you would tend to agree. But what you're experiencing now is that you don't want to do that anymore. Because what you can see is the gift in your interactions with them, and therefore it's no longer arising for you to just agree that they were jerks. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, and the other person doesn't even sound dismissive when they say it, but somehow when I then agree, my
yes.
part in it is dismissive.
Mm-hmm. And that is that
kind of dissing, dissing them
yes.
or dissing
yes.
Germany
so
or, you know, whatever.
Dissing Germany or your ex-boyfriend. So let me see if on a process level, this is what you're noticing, that there is a process of negation, right? And that process of negation dismisses everything that's good, right? And agreeing with that process of negation, you're participating in dismissing the goodness. And I project from the retreat we just did, if we see everything as goodness, we don't have to dismiss it. We don't have to agree with someone else's dismissal, and we certainly don't have to agree with a voice in our head that dismisses it too. Because from that non-separate perspective, we see everything as goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks.
And we can
for
tell
helping
how,
me put that into words.
Yes, and I will project right. And I don't know if this is your experience, but there's a way in which there's so much transformation that's happened for you that you're able to recognize that force of negation. You're not identifying with it. You're not unconsciously going with it. But now that expanded awareness allows you to go. That process of negation, not going with that, I'm going to come from this place of compassion and goodness that I'm identified with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm practicing.
That's what you're practicing. That's what we're all practicing, right? To recognize that force of negation. And go, don't want to be identified with that. That's not me. And then claim that place of blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. This is the goodness that is so, that is the intelligence that animates me, and that's what I choose.
And being in the process of appreciation.
Being in the process of appreciation.
On the retreat, then on the last day, I fell. And I think, I do that quite a few times. I fell, you know. I think that's the last thing, you know. Being in appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
if I recall,
then I never really get hurt, you know. I mean, it's just like this little startling shock, but so far. But I learned my lesson, or it's gonna take me all the way.
Yes, because what I heard you say on that retreat, right, is so you tripped, and instead of stiffening, you were so present that you surrendered to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There was a letting go into the experience. And when something like that happens, the process of negation is going to say, whatever it says, right? How could you be so careless? Or why do you keep doing that? Or what will happen if you hit your head the next time? Or it's a process that negates your experience. But to be in that process of appreciation, you can go, well, nothing happened, and I was all right, and mm-hmm. I love you no matter what. It's all right, right?
Yes. Yes. My partner will start.
Anna, you're breaking up for me again. Michael, is she breaking up for you?
Yeah, I'm here a little breaking up, yeah. A little hard to understand.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's my new apartment. I don't have great connection here.
Well, you sounded perfect right then.
Oh, really? Great. I'm waiting for the booster. It's coming tomorrow. They are sending me. Okay. Okay, then thank you.
That's good. Thanks a lot, Anna. Take care.
Bye.
Keep in touch.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Ashwini, what I took from your conversation is how critical it is for me to recognize that the negation is happening rather than simply living in it. I need to be aware that that negation is going on before I have any chance of seeing something else.
Yes, and not having any standards about when you start to become aware of it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So that would be a negation also.
Yes. Oh, you should have seen that. It's been going on all along.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I didn't. Okay.
You do now.
I do now. And Ashwini, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be right back.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer at livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And this one, we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Ashwini. It's Janice in Victoria.
Hey,
Hi, Janice.
Hi there. Well, my first question is, will the retreat, the poetry retreat, Blessed Knowledge of Emptiness, be repeated sometime in the future? That's my request.
Well, duly noted, Janice, and the answer is, of course, a very Zen one. I hope so, and I don't know.
That's a really good answer.
Yes, yes. We never know.
That's
but
right.
Hopefully.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Great. So I'm, like the first caller, wanting to report a success, and that was from just going through some very difficult months and phoning in and getting guidance both on the radio show and also practicing with the year-long retreat, daily questions, and appreciating Sangha's insights and learning from that too. So I think it is something like just remaining present and dropping all standards. And that was my guidance to really hold on to during this time. And so my partner spent 4 weeks in the hospital. You have to be pretty seriously ill to do that. And is now home, and a nurse came and he said today when he saw him that he really thought that he only had like just a matter of days left before he went in because of all the circumstances. And here he is back at home with all the things that are being done, you know, at home. There's all sorts of things being done. But that dropping the standards about what anything would be and just being present really was the thing that helped me get through, because every moment was, I don't know. That exactly, I don't know.
Yes, and I don't know really is being present, right? Because in that, it's such an interesting place. So many things about what you were saying, right, Janice? We never know. And so if we don't ever know, then when we're present, we really don't, till whatever is relevant in the moment is revealed to us, right? So I don't know is an attitude or an orientation of presence in which we're given the information we need in the moment. So you can't know anything in advance. But here you have an experience where your husband might not have come back after going to the hospital, and 4 weeks later he's here. Yeah, and now you're present to that.
Yes, and I realize that there's an incredible amount of exhaustion of the body for me. And how I've been practicing just being present, because often there's still things, there's still, there's been some accidents and things at home. And just feeling like I'm too tired to whatever. And somehow realizing, well, at this moment, there isn't another choice. I have to do whatever. I'm too tired, and I can do it. And that's revealing, because that was different from previously feeling like a victim. I'm too tired, and I have to do it, and being resentful. There's something different about it. I don't know what the difference really is, but there's something unconditionally loving in it, even though I'm exhausted and this won't go on forever. In this moment, I still can do it. I'm not mm-hmm. a victim, and I'm stuck in a situation. There's just something. I don't know if you can help me see what it is, but something has shifted.
Would you say, Janice, that before it was a conversation, right? What you were listening to is a conversation that says, I'm too tired, I can't do this. Whereas here, you're just calibrating to what is so. There doesn't seem to be energy. I am tired. It's true. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. recognizing that that may be true, and yet you're being called to do this, and there's no resistance at all, and there's no conversation at all. It's just that the energy arises to meet the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's probably what it is. It's perhaps there's no conversation because there's more of a belief and trust in my own adequacy to doing what's needed, as long as I can make a choice of just saying or seeing that this is what's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that the wisdom of no escape really allows us to access places which are not up to me. I know it sounds religious, California and woo-hoo, but it isn't up to you. You might be tired, but we find reserves in ourselves that are completely outside of the limits of our knowing, right? That rise up to meet a situation when everything in me screams, I can't do it, I'm too tired, I'm too hungry, I'm too weak, I'm too whatever, to just go, well, if I can't look to that to give me energy, whatever it is that I'm looking to give me energy is way beyond that. And its resources are way more infinite than my finite experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't up to me, right?
Right.
But because me is such a small amount of energy.
Yeah. 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 And I myself have fallen a couple of times, and I feel like mm-hmm. it isn't so much I'm not being mindful. I think it is just the body's super tired and things are kind of a bit off mm-hmm. balance. Mm-hmm. And both times I felt like completely hard, one inside mm-hmm. and one outside, and didn't hurt myself, and like at the other collar just being, oh my God, I'm so grateful. Nothing broke. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. instead of mm-hmm. Any chastising,
yes.
or yeah. figuring out why, not even with
yeah.
having the energy to figure out why, just being grateful.
Yes. Yeah. And I project in these times, right, if we think about ego as an energy harvesting system, we get super alert and super present in order not to have our limited energy not go to conditioning or to ego, to have it for life, by life, for life, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say this is just something that happened that there's a longing for me to get back to my old routine of like going for walks in the morning, as well as I do my meditation and listen to the radio show, but to really have a more expanded time again like I had. And yesterday I went up to the top of a hill. It's a 10-minute walk, but I just noticed that climbing it, how much stronger. I didn't have to zigzag up the hill. I could go straight mm-hmm. up the hill, and that was like mm-hmm. absolutely remarkable to me. And when mm-hmm. I got up to the hill and sat down to meditate, at one point I'd seen sort of like a something that looked like a little possible rain cloud. And I thought, oh, that's really strange. But anyhow, I was meditating and I opened my eyes and a rainbow was actually coming towards mm. me. And mm-hmm. and I saw what happened was that I realized, like, my experience of rainbows is that they come with a lot of rain and that I probably needed to stand up and go under a tree and shelter. So I actually interrupted my meditation and started that process of moving away. As it came closer, I realized the rainbow disappeared because I was in it. And it was only full of little tiny, the tiniest little fine mist that didn't even feel damp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen both ends of the rainbow when I was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in it, I couldn't see it at all. But I had a whole different experience than my assumption that I was going to get drenched. And I just went back and sat down. I just thought, wow, it was so zen for me. Because to be like in maybe an enlightening type of experience and not just realizing there's no way of knowing if I even am.
It comes back to where you started us, right? You never know. You never know. So when the rainbow was coming towards you, you did not know if you were going to get drenched or not. And when you were in it, you couldn't see the rainbow, right? But you had a marvelous experience.
You're breaking.
Because you were in the moment.
You're breaking.
I said you had
there,
a marvelous.
Ashwini.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, just a few words back, I missed that.
I saw
the rainbow coming towards me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there was the intuition to move to under a tree, and then you had a different experience of the rainbow being just a mist. So it's just we never know, and when we're in the moment, we have the experience that we are having.
Yeah, and I didn't sort of like it, but I was, I'm celebrating this because I didn't kind of pick up myself and run, and I didn't sit there with complete resistance that, resignation, I'm going to get drenched.
yes, exactly. Yes. You didn't, you were paying attention, right? You were paying attention and listening to how life wanted, the information that life was giving you. And it brings me back to something that dropped in while you were talking, right? Janice, it's, I don't know. And so there are circumstances that you don't have as expansive a schedule, right? And where the conditioning would go is, well, it's going to last forever, and I'm longing for the schedule that I don't have. But if we stay with the moment, we don't have to feel deprived because the schedule is never going to be the same again, or I'm not going to be able to You find those 10 minutes, right, that you could go up the hill and have this extraordinary experience. And so it really is turning the attention from the narrative about what everything means and what's happening in your life to be present to what's arising and to see where you go from there.
Thank you. It's always a wonderful summary when you reflect it back like that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and there might be an opportunity, as you've often talked about, to see how when you're getting to that place of being tired and having those accidents, to see how you might ask for assistance so that you could take a break and your body could recover. That also arises in being present to the moment and being open to all possibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have something lined up. And even though something like for a day, but I also have some things lined up. So it's for, an hour or two every day.
Yes, because everything enlightens. An accident gives you the information of maybe you need some assistance. A rainbow gives you different information, right?
Right.
And taking a 10-minute walk does too. And so just being present allows us to let life inform us in so many ways, and it's always talking to us in such a helpful way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much for, thanks everybody for everything.
We're so supported, aren't we, Jen?
We really are, yeah. And I really do feel that life is right there for me.
Yes. Thank you. And I think you're showing us how you see that. So thank you.
Gassho.
Gassho. Take care, Janice. And stay in touch, huh?
Oh, yes.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. A lot of inspiring callers out there, Ashwini.
Absolutely.
Yes. And, Ashwini, I forgot to mention after our recording and listening ad that there's a practice recorder app for iPhone, and it's great for recording and listening, and it's on sale in the iPhone App Store, and it works with the current operating system, and it's called Practice Recorder.
Yes, it's very fun. I love the category function.
Yes, yes, it's great. Mm-hmm. Great. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. It's Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hey. Well, I was just going to echo how supported we are as you were just reflecting for the previous caller, and just feeling that from everything that I got from the retreat last week was so, well, it felt like it was so, it's so much more opened up spaciousness around emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to that, to this new sort of, this koan just appeared for me after looking at it a bunch, that love is all of me.
Mm-hmm.
And what it feels like is that's vibrating in every cell. It's very alive, and just it's like I can feel that in a moment of wanting to really have fun with interacting with somebody that I'm around a lot. And it's been hilarious actually to me. What comes from that? Surprise.
I projected,
you know?
That is not your orientation by default, but this experience has opened up this perspective that allows you to come from a different place. That if love is all of you, then you have other options.
Yes, it does. And of course,
there sounds like.
Yes, very fun ones. You know, very much in the way of appreciating the mystery and playfulness in life. In the moment.
Yes. Yes. The mystery of what did you say? Of playfulness, and what was the other word, Margaret?
Just I guess maybe I might have said something like wonder and mystery of playfulness. Because that's kind of, and magic, just that,
yes.
That it is, it's a different seeing of what's possible and of feeling, of knowing in that moment what's,
yes.
You know, it's sort of, I guess, what was just arising was one of those old Zen stories and how there's a conclusion in it where all the Zen master's beautiful crystals get accidentally broken by the person who's cleaning them for the first time. And the Zen master comes in and says, oh, I didn't have those. I had those for enjoyment. You know, kind of, let's not worry. We don't have to worry about that when they're all broken. And it's sort of like, you know, sometimes when I'm identified, I'd be like, what? he could just drop that, you know, and not go to a place of, you know, some other place. And I guess that's what it feels like, is that that position of there's sort of magic and love in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So I, what I hear you say is the same thing that Anna said, right? Which is there's an orientation that we have that we're conditioned into. Hers was negation, and she moved to appreciation. And what you're looking at is an absence of love, and that that or opening to if love is all of me is the equivalent of saying life is for enjoyment. So if I'm coming from that orientation, what's possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And to live from that place. To live from that place. There's wonder. If I can see wonder and magic, then I feel wonderful and magical. And that gives me a lot of energy to approach things that I would have approached in a conditioned way to approach in a different way by being present to it.
Yes, and it's helpful. What's been, when you say that, what's been arising for me in the year-long retreat just recently was seeing in relationship that an experience that I've had looking at something else was where I remember being told as a child, and I don't know if it's because I said something that wasn't nice, or if one of my other siblings did, and all three of us were given this lecture. But the lecture was, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Mm. And I saw in that communication, well, what strikes me about it is that it was devastating and sort of shaming in a way for me of looking at, I could say something that would be so wrong or hurt somebody, or there's already something wrong with me. But from this other place of the love is all of me and really getting that and sort of looking at the conditioning that happened, it seems like an inquiry is possible from a completely different place.
That's beautifully stated. Margaret, that's exactly the case, right? Because the conditioning is about what's wrong, and love has all the answers that judgment doesn't have. I'm butchering the quote, but something to that effect, right? Because what you received was judgment, and what judgment made you feel was shame, and this incredulous sense of, I could have said something so wrong that I deserved that level of negation. But when as you said, you're in the orientation of love, there's so much ability to just look at that and go, well, is that true for me? And if there is some information that I could receive from someone else's feedback, then how do I incorporate it from the perspective of there's nothing wrong with me? Love is all of me. There's nothing about me that needs to be different or changed. And it's possible to see if there's something about me that I do want to be different, but it doesn't negate me that I think that I look at that. The inquiry is from a different place. It's not from a place of improvement. It's a place of inquiry.
Yeah, and it's a place where, you know, like I could see that, you know, my mother really cared about me. I mean, I could actually see that she, in a way, that was protection, a kind of protection. So
she was just doing her job.
Yeah, doing her job in a loving way instead of, you know, I mean, there was no violence other than if I took it that way.
And Margaret, there's a couple of things about that. It goes back to something you were saying earlier about being in a place of fun and watching someone who you're around a lot and having a different experience. It's so important for us to get that it's not the object of the process that is different, but the process we're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's only when I am in love with all of me that it's possible for me to have an experience of appreciation or possibility or magic or fun.
Yes. Yeah.
And to have compassion for someone who may have been coming from the best place that they want, that they could come from, or the most conditioned place that they could come from, and still have no judgment about that. Come from that place of acceptance.
Yes. Yes.
Because
really
we wouldn't
helpful.
Want, yeah, we wouldn't want, because unless you're in the moment, we have a very good intuition of what is speaking to us, life or ego, right? Are we coming mm-hmm. from conditioning? Are we coming from love? Are we receiving conditioning or are we receiving love, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
More and more every day.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we have
exactly.
the year-long seeds and all. Yeah, it's so... the continuity of it all and
mm-hmm.
and participating every day is so helpful. It's
mm-hmm.
I just thank
yeah, because
you very
it's the transformation that's happening in you, right? There's a place where every time you went back to that conversation with your mother, you felt ashamed. But just like Anna said, when somebody was dismissive and was negative, she didn't have to go there. But that was much more reflective of her transformation and your transformation in this case, where what arises is compassion, not judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Towards your mom. Yeah.
Yeah. And towards me.
And towards you. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know that
yeah.
the conditioning was shaming you, and to go, you know what, Margaret? No, that doesn't need to be there. There's nothing
right.
wrong with you.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. And
thank you,
Sangha.
Yes, all we right. can't not say that. Thank you, Sangha.
Yes. All right.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. Ashwini, we are 3 minutes to the hour here. Shall
well, Michael,
we wrap
I
it up?
Can have a 3-minute conversation with anybody.
Right. Yes, difficult, because
difficult.
We're so thoughty, kind people.
I know, and we've got so much to say and so much to celebrate.
Yes, yes. So then we'll say thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, Sangha, and it was a wonderful show, and go happy.
Go happy. Thank you so much for being there, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ashwini.
Take care. Go happy.
Go happy.